American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, January 26, 2005. Welcome to Hump Day. Yes, it is the Wednesday, the middle of the week, the day of the week that we're all told we're supposed to buck up and, you know, rear our heads to the sky because we know the weekend is coming, which will give us 2 days reprieve, and then we'll be back into our slave pit mentality the following Monday morning. But don't worry, you'll have Friday night to go out to the bar and get drunk and burn your brain out. Or you can decide to live by your own clock and by your own rules and listen to your own media and media that you choose. And that is what this show is. This is Newsreel. I'm your host, Sean Kennedy, and we are going to make sure that you get the news you need to stay alive. Some special thanks and corrections. First of all, last week I gave credit to Pig Monkey for that forging fingerprint story. It was not Pig Monkey. My bad. I suck. It was Zijian Machina sent in that. And sorry about that. I get a lot of email. Kind of screwed up sometimes. I've actually wound up having to give out a baptism because I sent out indication of a baptism to someone, but they didn't notice that it wasn't addressed to them. So it's okay. You know, I'm getting there. I'm answering the email. You know, sometimes it gets a little bit crazy. Sometimes I have to try really hard to keep up with everything, but it looks like it's going to be all right, and I'm not really too worried about it. To be honest with you, it really doesn't take that much effort, because after all, I am amazing. No, but seriously, it's not that bad. The health is still coming back. Can't seem to shake this cough for some reason, which sucks. I'd like to know if there's some way I could shake the cough. Maybe I should, stop. Well, I've cut all the impurities out of my diet that I pretty much can, so it's just a matter of shaking it now, I guess. Be the only thing I'd have left to do. So then we got a special thanks this week to Underlord for setting up a subscription service for the archives. That's the archives of this show. And you can link to that off of my live journal, which, of course, you can link to all the news stories off my live journal. You can read along with me in the book. You know it's time for me to turn the page when I say, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. All the links are at the bottom of after whatever, you know, mindless post I put for the day. Go down there, check it out. And we got some daily hacks and stuff like that. We're slowly going to expand that. I'm probably actually going to buy a live journal account. I may have to break down and do that and actually pay for a live journal account so I can, you know, kit it up a bit for all you netrunners out there who are going to be, you know, coming in and checking out my site. It's okay right now, but I mean, come on. It goes on and on and on and on. I like to dress it up a bit, make it look a little bit more purdy for all of you. So just you know, because I care. I do. I care. I deeply, deeply care. Some other people who care. Feedback. The fucking man. That's how you open the letter. The fucking man. Whoever thought that I would be addressed in a letter to the fucking man. Here's some feedback on a report of biometric smart cars in use in the Department of Defense. Oh, really? I was recently employed as a civilian engineer in the Navy. That is until I was reassigned. And I would like to share my first-hand experience with the PKI smart car infrastructure. None of this is classified, just my observations while I was at the base. One word, frustration. I had to wait over a week to get my card. Until I had it, I had to use a temporary pass to just enter the base. I could not log on to any computer. I could not use the clock to punch in and out of work. So you see, all these events are tied into the card. I was told the magnetic strip card was my social security number, like a SIN in Canada. So they could see who was entering a building or lab when and keep track of the hours so you couldn't skip out of work early or even exercise on the on-base gym during work hours without getting caught. That's great. Once I finally got my card, it had a smart card interface so it could be plugged into a USB reader and then used to access the computer system. The cards are programmed with a unique PIN, plug-in card, plug in the card, type a PIN, and prompt, and you're on. So if someone got the card, they need to get your PIN also to use it. The card let me gain access to various Navy and DoD websites, as well as email systems. This system broke down frequently. I had entire days where I could not access my email on base. Did I mention the smart card was also my ID? Yes, it had my name and photo inside the chip. And it also had my birthday, pay rate, social security number, maybe 30 other pieces of information, many of which were blank at the time, but could be used in future, I suppose. I had to wear the card as a badge. Nice. Conclusion. The DoD is certainly testing out this system. They are working out the bugs in case they need / want to expand it in a nationwide system. Thank you, BlitzCon, for sending us that. And I'm probably not too sure you should have, because, you know, after all, we are living in a state of paranoia. What if the terrorists hear that? Then they'll know that we're losing all of our freedoms and they are, in fact, winning. Which is funny. Really, what is the goal of terrorism? Well, the goal of terrorism is to breed fear and hatred and all that, you know, good, evil stuff. You know, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to disrupt everything and get everyone to spend a lot of money to lock their nation down. I mean, there's a lot of cost involved in this war on terror here. So, in essence, these terror attacks have been highly successful. Probably the most highly successful terror attacks in the history of the world. I mean, can you think of another country that spent more money than us in this short period of time against terrorism? You know, it seems to me that we're playing right into the terrorists' hands. Now, I'm just a guy on the street saying that, and so I know there's got to be people further up the line saying, you know, hey, whatever happened to business as usual. But, you know, whatever. Dear Sean, this site has pre-made emails that you can email the government to stop Codex from being implemented in Canada. Now, this is interesting. Codex is the European Union's, under the United Nations, little law where they want to take vitamins and say they're drugs, so that people can't take vitamins without getting a prescription. Yeah, very, very scary stuff. If you value being able to take a nutritional supplement, I urge you all to consider this site and write to the government and Senate. If you are not going to write an actual letter yourself, voice your objections to Codex. And you get that at friendsoffreedom.org. Okay, I think I linked to that off my live journal as well. But do something. Now, this is true. We can do something. Letters do make a difference. It is way more effective that you write your own composition and mail it, no stamp needed, to your MB or senators or other MPs to get them informed on how damaging this codex can be. Because quite often, you know, a lot of these guys don't know about that. And if they think that, these are politicians, so if they think they can champion rights and freedoms with nutrition and vitamins, they'll jump up and say that so that they can get their name in the paper. Remind that our doctors are not trained to fight imbalances in nutrition. If this is not in the CPS book, they will not write prescriptions for 1,000 vitamins of vitamin C you're used to taking when you started getting a cold. So it is effectively a ban on effective amounts of vitamins. And that's from Hammer. So if you'd like to learn out more about that, and I encourage everyone to check this out in both the United States and Canada, go check out friendsoffreedom.org, and you'll be able to see what's going on with this whole codexing. Very, very scary. I'm taking a lot of vitamins myself, and it's not all psychosomatic, guys. There's a real difference that comes when you start taking vitamins. So, hey, everybody should do that. So check that out. You know, let's not go gently into that good night. Sort yourself out. Dear Sean, first of all, I just want to say thanks. You may not be the only one out there who's spreading the word of the counterculture, but you're sure as fuck the most interesting and entertaining. Second, I was wondering if you read any disinformation stuff. Yes, I have. You were talking about mad cow disease and Parkinson's yesterday, and that point was made in the disinfo book, Everything You Know Is Wrong. Love this company's shit. And thirdly, I'm only 16. I'm kind of in between a lot of things, and I'm trying to find out more shit about myself. When people see I'm outspoken, the first thing they say is something like, oh, you're a Democrat. No, I fucking hate Democrats, and I know you hate more. I hate Republicans, so what am I? I think I'm a socialist. I've been reading a lot of shit about socialism, and I think it seems pretty righteous. Everybody says something like, oh, you're a Nazi. No, fucker, I'm a socialist. I believe in democracy, where people are actually getting treated like fucking people and not fucking shit. I want to know what you think about socialism. And for some reason, your opinion means a lot to me. Thanks again, the Lo-Fi Legionnaire. Well, see, I don't know a lot about socialism either. I won't lie to you. I don't know a lot about it. And I think that people are afraid to say they don't know a lot about stuff, especially, you know, when you're in a position like mine. I mean, I run around on the web and I'm finding all these news stories and stuff. They say, well, Sean, what political party do you follow? What do you think? You know, well, you know, I don't pigeonhole myself too much with a political party. I'd probably say libertarian if I was, you know, tucked up against the wall and someone stuffed a gun in my mouth. I'd probably say libertarian, but just about every political party has things I agree and disagree with. So rather than trying to choose a political party for yourself, what I would do is I would try to choose a belief system for yourself. Write down what you think is good, write down what you think is bad, and actually write it down, and then compare the two lists to make sure that the same thing isn't on both sides of the list, only worded differently. And then use that as your check sheet to see where what your political spectrum is. Now, furthermore, you're 16, which means that you nearly have not read nearly enough. And not because, you know, you don't read enough, just because you're 16 and you haven't had enough time in on the planet in order to do that. So anyone who's 16 and trying to figure out what they're doing politically, make sure you read all the Hunter S. Thompson you can. Make sure you read all the Noam Chomsky you can. Hell, even read some of the stuff that Ronald Reagan wrote. I mean, who cares? Check it all out. Make sure that you get cross references. Make sure you just cram your head with as much knowledge as you can. And you will soon see where you fit into the big list. But make sure you check some of your stuff. If you're going to read like a lot of Republican press, they're going to be feeding you stuff like, oh, well, can't make an omelet without breaking eggs and crap like that. You know, there's certain truths to that. And it's true that, yeah, you know what? Sometimes things have to get done. And sometimes you have to, you know, send in the army. And sometimes these things have to happen. And no one's saying that that's not the case. We just want to decrease the amount of suffering. My overriding law, my moral compass is decrease the amount of suffering. If something you are doing increases suffering, it's not a good idea. That includes suffering in the animal kingdom and everywhere else. So it's a little blue ball, guys. We're all on a ball. It's round. What goes around comes around. So if we're inflicting suffering through corporations, through buying Coca-Cola and things like that, on people in these third world nations who are being poisoned from the byproducts of these massive factories. I mean, these people are going to be pissed off. Try to think if that was you, what you'd be like. I mean, you'd be all crazy. No wonder these people strapping bombs to their chests. You know, that's a hell of a thing to do, to strap a bomb to your chest. I mean, anyone ever thought about the mentality involved in doing something like that? Like, oh my God. So, as to your first two points, well, actually, Everything You Know Is Wrong is a great book. Anything that kind of rips the lid off of suppressed information is great. So I check out Disinfo. They're okay. I mean, they're a little pushy sometimes, but they're all right. Yeah, that's about it. So that goes out to the Lo-Fi Legionnaire. Now, let's get straight into the good stuff. Here's the news. Drumroll, please. Donnie has done it again. The Pentagon, expanding into the CIA's historic ballywick, has created a new espionage arm and is reinterpreting U.S. law to give Defense Secretary the crazy Donald H. Rumsfeld broad authority over clandestine operations abroad, according to interviews with participants and documents obtained by the Washington Post. So, you know, we're getting into some seriously good mainstream media here. The previously undisclosed organization called the Strategic Support Branch, SSB, let's just call it the SS, arose from Rumsfeld's written order to end his near-total dependence on the CIA. Oh, sorry, Donnie, what's wrong? You don't like being dependent on the same Central Intelligence Agency that we've been dependent on for since, well, what, the Second World War? When the hell did those guys show up anyway? For what is known as the Human Intelligence designed to operate without detection under the Defense Secretary's direct control. Dun, dun, dun. We will call them Section 9. The SS, or Strategic Support Branch, deploys small teams of case officers, linguists, interrogators, and technical specialists along newly empowered Special Operations Forces. Wow, so Mac V. SOG by any other name is still Mac V. SOG? That's great. Now, you know, chasing this story, Donald Rumsfeld is being called a war criminal by Germany. Okay, Germany is calling Donald Rumsfeld a war criminal. The U.S. Defense Secretary, crazy Donald Rumsfeld, canceled a planned visit to Germany after U.S. human rights organizations asked German authorities to prosecute him for war crimes. This is what the Dutch press agentur has learned. No, my German sucks, and I don't speak any other languages, so again, apologies to the actual name of that organization. Rumsfeld has informed the German government via the U.S. Embassy he will not take part in the Munich Security Conferences in February conference, Horst Telchik told DPA on Thursday. Oh, if I go there, you'll arrest me? I guess I'm not going. The New York-based Center for Constitutional Rights filed a complaint in December with the Federal German Prosecutor's Office against Rumsfeld, accusing him of war crimes and torture in connection with the detainees in Iraqi's Abu Ghraib prison. I keep on calling it Abu Dhabi. Abu Ghraib, whatever. Rumsfeld has made it known immediately after the complaint was filed he would not attend the Munich conference unless Germany quashed its legal action. Holy crap. Hey, if you try to persecute me, I'm not going there. So what? You're going to claim refugee status, Donnie? The organizations allege violations of German legislation, which outlaws war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide independent of the place of crime and origin of the accused. So the Germans, incidentally, they're a little bit sorry about the last World War there with the Nazis and all that. Yeah, they've kind of gone the other way now. Now they're kind of like, you know, war criminals are bad. We're going to hunt war criminals. And, yeah, because we kind of have to. So, you know, there it is. And Donald Rumsfeld is so concerned about this, he's not going to Germany now. So does that mean he thinks he's guilty? The prosecutor's office in Karlsruhe, man, I'm crappy with names, reported its examining of roughly the 170-page complaint to see whether investigation is warranted. Well, Donnie seems to think it's warranted. Everybody knows it's warranted. My dog knows the investigation's warranted. You know, it's just, else why wouldn't he just go to Germany? You know, what are we afraid? We're going to get Donald Rumsfeld captured? Maybe we'll have to, he'll get captured and we'll make like a movie about it. We'll have to send in Navy SEALs to rescue our war criminal. Which would be a lot like, of course, he could always have his SS come in and get him out too. Now, the central banks, now everybody knows that I love banks. Banks and me get along just fantastic. Like rats leaving a ship, the central banks are shifting reserves, their cash reserves, away from the United States and towards the Eurozone. And a move that looks set to deepen the Bush administration's difficulties in financing its ballooning current account deficit. Well, looks like the banks are showing their hand, eh? Now, don't ever kid yourself. These banks don't give a crap about any country. They'd see every single country burn so as long as their coffers stay full. I hate banks. Inactions likely to undermine the dollar's value on currency markets. 70% of central banks' reserve managers said they had increased their exposure to the euro over the last 2 years. The majority thought eurozone money and debt markets were as attractive as a destination for investment as the U.S. Nice wording. The findings emerged from a survey of the central bank reserve managers published today and conducted between September and December of last year. About 65 central banks controlling assets worth $1,700 billion, or $1.7 trillion, took part, and the results showed a marked change in the attitude over the last 2 years. Any rebalancing of the central bank reserve portfolios has serious implications for the global financing system, and the U.S. has become increasingly dependent on official flows of funds to finance its current account deficit, estimated at $650 billion in 2004. At the end of 2003, central banks held 70% of their official reserves in dollar denomination assets, and central bank purchases of U.S. securities had financed more than 80% of the U.S. current account deficit in 2003. Good God. Now, are the banks going to foreclose on the United States? Is that an option, or are they trying to undermine the United States money? But why would they do that? Why would the foreign banks, why would banks in foreign countries run by people we don't know, why would these banks run by people who, well, the alternative press has known for a while that the Illuminati and the Bilderberg groups and all these, you know, societies who run these banks, why would they be seeking to destroy the United States, a country born on ideals, the only country born on ideals, actually, with its constitution, which has been, you know, so horribly gutted, but we still got the original piece of paper, so we can fix it if we want to. We can fix it if we want to, but we have to want to first. It is the responsibility of the citizen to look after its government, not the government to look after its citizen. If your government becomes corrupt, well, that kind of narrows your options down, doesn't it? Well, some cellular viri has been released. A really brilliant piece of shit named Marcos Valesco, a 32-year-old Brazilian software developer, enjoys movies with special effects, maintains a vast collection of antique computers in his home, and is the proud father of two young children and one mobile phone virus, which he named after himself, Valesco. Okay, Valesco, why would you make a mobile phone virus? Why would you do that? Computer security experts around the world have given the virus and its variants more toxic-sounding names like Lasco A, Symbos for Lasco A, or simply the Lasco virus. They're also calling it stupid. Yeah, of course it's stupid. Why would you write a virus? Virus writers, seriously, man, you want to talk about a case for caning? Really? I mean, why would you do that? We think he's dangerous, said Mikko Hyppönen, the director of antivirus research for a Finnish company, F-Secure, because he publicly posts working mobile malware that any clown anywhere can easily download and use. Nice work. Valesco's creation is essentially a piece of computer code that takes advantage of the short-range radio frequency technology called Bluetooth, which is installed on many common handheld devices, especially cell phones. If a person carrying an infected phone passes someone carrying a Bluetooth phone on the street, the Valesco worm can jump the gap, infecting the second phone. So this thing physically travels. Now, I ask you, Valesco, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Just because you wanted to? You're 32. We're about the same age. You got two kids. Why did you do this? Are you angry? Are you bored? Did you think that was a good idea to do? Does the virus spread some kind of message that you're trying to get out there? Or do you just need a shit kicking? Why would you write a virus like that? I don't understand virus writers. If someone's out there is a virus writer, please, I'm not trying to be totally ignorant to you. I just don't understand why they do it. Like, why would you do it? Is it an art thing? Is it because you want to feel like you're an artist and so you write things that hurt people? Viruses cause damage. They cause inconvenience. They lock everything down. Now, if you're doing this for some sort of purpose, you're using it as a weapon, you know, to try to enforce your will or whatever, then it turns into a question of, you know, why you're doing it, so on and so forth. And I am not above, you know, the use of, you know, electronic means to try to extract some justice. I've been known to kind of lean in that direction before. A lot of heavy hitters right now are kind of giggling. But it's true. I mean, why would you make something like this? And even if you did, wouldn't you share it with people you know could be held accountable or would use this as a tool or something rather than just posting it for every Tom, Dick, and Schmo to come along and just take it? I mean, sure, yeah, there's the side of it that information should be free and all the rest of it. But it doesn't seem to me like anything positive can be done with this. It seems like kind of a negative thing. Let me know what you think about that, because I'd really like to understand that whole virus writing, you know, mentality. I don't know much about it. Save your head. A British professor is urging the use of ferrite beads on wired hands-free headsets to absorb excess radiation that may travel up the outside of the wire. Now, this is cool. Those ferrite beads, those are the little balls you sometimes see. They're usually on monitor cables, or if you get like one of the video games, like a Game Boy or Game Box or whatever, sometimes they have a USB feed, and there's like this weird kind of bead-looking clampy thing that goes around the wire. That's the ferrite bead, okay? You want to pop that off and throw that on your hands-free system so you don't, like, suck all the radiation up into your head along the wire. The same sort of ferrite beads are often seen on monitor cables. It's that bulging cylinder right before the plug. And it should only add pennies. It should only add pennies and a little weight to the headsets. Well, while no one will cop to the idea that radiation from cell phones is harmful, if you're already going through the effort to stave off potential tumors by using a hands-free earpiece, you may as well take it all the way. Now, I personally think that, you know, I use just a cell phone myself. I don't have a landline. I'm probably going to convert to Skype if I get my hands on one of those Poma units, which I'd like to get. I don't have enough money. So, donate quick. I have to buy a Poma. Ooh, there's a sales pitch, eh? No, but seriously, I'd like to get a Poma for Project Gargoyle. I'd like to try to do something like that. So far, I'm kind of leaning that way. But and when that happens, I could fully see, you know, using war driving and Skype. Why not? That'd be a serious way to stay in communication. I mean, that's pretty sweet. But if you are going to be doing this and you do have a hands-free, I think that might be a good idea. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So you might want to, you know, check into that. I think that's might be a good idea. Now, this next story is one of my favorites. Okay, I came up with this line: Christians kiss Satan despite server. Yes. Yes, the religious right has long been an adversary of mine. Way back when you were burning my role-playing books and burning my albums and making sure that I get shit-kicked 3 times a day because my parents are Wiccan. Yes, they're still in there, and now they're throwing in with the devil themselves. Check this out. The Bush administration's top lawyer and the Christian coalition threw their weight behind the entertainment industry Monday in a closely watched Supreme Court fight over file swapping. Monday was the deadline for the Recording Industry Association of America, or the RIAA, the Motion Picture MPAA, and their supporters to file arguments with the nation's top court in their efforts to reverse the previous rulings that imposed only minimal legal restrictions on peer-to-peer software companies. Okay, guys, this is not a crime. This is a civil matter. The entertainment companies have argued strongly in lower courts that Grokster and other file swapping software companies should be held liable for the widespread copyright infringement of their users. In a lengthy brief, the U.S. Solicitor General's office agreed. While P2P technologies unquestionably can be employed for a variety of legitimate purposes, while point-to-point technology is unquestionably can be employed for a variety of legitimate purposes without giving rise to rampant copyright infringement, the record suggests that the file-swapping software companies have built their particular P2P networks around the draw of massive copyright infringement. The Solicitor General brief read, they cannot evade liability merely by pointing to other legitimate uses of technology of the same technology. Okay, guys, what about guns then? Okay, handguns. What about handguns? If they push this through, you can kiss handguns goodbye. Okay, they're gone. Because handguns, you're thinking, what the hell, what do you mean, Sean, handguns? Okay, legitimate uses of the technology. Okay, you can use a point-to-point piece of software. It does not break the law, just as a handgun does not break the law. The point-to-point technology software has to be used with the intent to break the law. So must the firearm. So if they make these illegal, okay, then it would be very, very easy to say, well, guys, you may as well make handguns illegal then because it's exactly the same thing. This is very, very dangerous. I hope to God the courts go, no, blow it out your ass. A handful of diverse organizations joined the entertainment companies filing the Supreme Court on Monday, making some strange bedfellows. Yeah, you betcha they do. I love these people. In addition to the Solicitor General's office, a group of conservative, family, and Christian organizations that are awfully deeply critical of Hollywood and record label releases joined the chorus against file swapping. Oh, yeah, we hate that. You know, anything that has, you know, free thought or expression or thoughts and ideas that might go against what we're, you know, teaching our kids, they come home with all these questions. What's a concerned parent to do? The answer is obvious. Ban everything. Quoting Jell-O Biafra. Those groups, which include the Christian Coalition, oh good, the Concerned Women for America, now that just sounds like a white supremacist group, doesn't it? Morality in Media, and others, wrote that the lower court decision, Morality in Media, wow, these are just scary names, wrote the lower court decision relieving file-swapping companies of legal liability could lead to a proliferation of anonymous, decentralized, unfiltered, and untraceable fear-to-fear networks that facilitate crimes against children. Think of the children, and that frustrate law enforcement efforts to detect and investigate these crimes. Yeah, because, you know, peer-to-peer means pornography. I got news for you. Why don't you let the net look after pornography its own way? Why don't you legalize vigilante action if it's justifiable in the cases of pornography? And watch what happens next. Wow, the child porn thing just kind of goes away. Why does it go away? Because hackers go, hey, that's great. Hey, what are we doing Saturday? Let's find out where that child porn guy is, go to his house, and beat his head in. Hey, that's a good idea. Is that legal? Well, under the vigilante laws, it is. Cool. I mean, I'm sure there's huge holes in that plan, but dude, there's got to be something better than this. And that's the thing I really like. I mean, who ever thought that the Christian Coalition would side up with the MPAA? Yes, the people, you know, the Passion of the Christ must have gone a long way with these guys, because half of these people, you know, are out protesting all the movies they put out. It's absolutely disturbing to think that you could have, like, the religious right trying to ally with satanic companies like the RIAA and the MPAA. I mean, that's just, oh, makes me crazy. Now, moving along, there's a guy who's got some hope here. And quoting Bruce Lee, be like water, my friend. The web, as we know it, was invented by a British academic working in Switzerland. It was? Is a Nordic academic working in Britain about to redefine it forever? Dun, dun, dun. Frode Hegeland. Frode Hegeland, a researcher at the University College London, wants to change the basic structure of information on the net. Oh, is that all? Hegeland's project, Liquid Information, is kind of like Wikipedia meets hypertext. In Hegeland's web, all documents are editable, and every word is potentially hyperlink. Okay, now, we're getting into that realm of networking and net design that is a little bit deep for Sean. Not that I don't think I could follow it, it's just that I don't know that much about this, and I'd want to consult with some really intelligent people regarding this, but I'm liking what he's got to say, though. I'd just like to see how what some of the negativity... I'm not too sure about anyone being able to edit anything on the web anywhere. That might be kind of really totally crazy, because how can you be sure that anything's true or even what the original post was? Hegeland is based at University College London's Interaction Center and collaborates with Doug Engelbart, inventor of the mouse. Oh, hey, Doug, what's up? Doug's got some time in. Engelbart refers to Hegeland's project as the next stage of the web. I love the web, but it's a shitty toy, declares Hegeland. It's a first move of a train coming into a station. It's a first movie of a train coming into a station. Okay. Hegeland's idea is simple. He plans to move beyond the basic hypertext, linking it to the web, changing every word to a hyperword. Instead of one or two links in a document, every single word becomes a link. Further, every link can point more to one place, pulling up all kinds of background context from the web as a whole. Well, that sounds like a good idea. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. You can check that out on his website, Liquid Information. Very, very cool. Probably pretty heady. And we got to make sure that this is useful to people. We got to make sure that, you know, there is a chance for people who, because there are lots and lots of people who've never turned on the box. And if they've got to understand, you know, quantum theory and the flow of time space in order to use a computer, we're going to lose a lot of users here. We still got to get everybody wired up and good to go. I would like the idea of simplifying the web. What I would like to do, you know, I've oftentimes thought that, you know, when you're daydreaming and when you're Sean and you're lying back in bed at night staring at the ceiling and you're thinking about, you know, what if I was to hit the big time, you know, whatever that means. And, you know, I had lots of money. What would I do with that money? You know, because you got to think that question. What would Sean do if he had a lot of money? Well, aside from setting up, you know, a string of cyberpunk bards with free encryption and accounts for everyone so that we had our own data storage all across North America. And, you know, where there's kendo shows and all sorts of really grand stuff where they pump rant radio through all the music and there's coffin hotels and really hot chicks and all that kind of, you know, good 14-year-old fantasy stuff. Aside from all of that, I would like to set up some kind of I'd like to build an operating system, to be honest with you. I've got dreams. I've got big ideas. Yeah, that's true. I mean, me, myself, personally, I wouldn't actually, you know, sit there and build an operating system. But lay out a construct, hire a team of... 3D guys and put together an operating system that's designed to take the concept of the cyberpunk world and bring it into the internet. Let's do stuff like that. I'd like to see stuff a little bit more three-dimensional, so it's easier for people who are just grasping technology, because, you know, everyone knows what game they first played. What game did you first play? Huh? I mean, if you're a dinosaur like me who was playing, you know, Defender on the Atari 2600, dude, then, you know, well, it doesn't really count. But when the first real computer games came in, you know, what was it? It was Duke Nukem, man. It was Duke Nukem. It was Quake. It was Doom. It was the good first-person shooters. That's what made computers cool. That's what really put the bite into them for us. And, man, I just think that if we could get some of that magic back, if we get some of that drawback and get people excited about the web again, get people excited about technology, because really it is the future. Now, this sort of a thing where you've got text hyperlinking and stuff like that, it's a neat idea. It's pretty savagely geek and I like it a lot, but I don't know how maybe how flashy it is. Maybe that's the wrong word, because people would say, well, why should the web be flashy? Well, it's got to be a tool, guys. We got to be able to use this so that we can, you know, draw more people in and educate people. It's an education medium, and if you make education fun and, you know, a little racy and kind of, it sticks with you. You know, and you want to be there. What's better than a school that you could run around in? I'm here to tell you, if there was actually a brain jack system, like the kind you get from Matrix, you know, where you jack right in and you could learn stuff, even if it was at like half rate or even twice the rate, dude, I'd be like, man, I'd be a doctor by now. Are you kidding? Holy crap. If you could make learning that fun, that would be sweet. Now, on to more rights being destroyed by corporations. You're fired. for smoking cigarettes. Four employees of a healthcare company have been fired for refusing to take a test to determine whether or not they smoke cigarettes. Piss testing you for Marlboro. Waco Incorporated said Health Benefits Administrator based in Oakmont, Michigan, adopted a policy Jan 1 that allows employees to be fired if they smoke, even if their smoking happens after business hours or at home. The company founder, Howard Wires, said the anti-smoking rule was designed to shield the firm from high healthcare costs. Holy shit. I don't want to pay for the results of smoking, he said. Well, what about meat eating? I mean, it's pretty obvious that if you're going to go there, why stop there? You know, we only hire vegetarians here. If we catch you eating meat, you're fired. If we catch you eating MSG, you're fired. If we catch you drinking, you're fired. If you're not reading the Bible every night, you're fired. I mean, come on, man. This is psycho. That's like slavery. I mean, I don't agree with smoking myself, but if a guy wants to light up a butt, that's his right. You know, who the hell am I to tell somebody they can't smoke? That is screaming bullshit. The rule led one employee to quit before the policy was adopted. What? Fuck you. I'm out of here. Four others were fired when they balked at the smoking test. You want me to what? You're fired. Yeah, I'll bet I'm fired. It's a long walk through the parking lot, Chief. Chief Financial Officer Gary Climes estimated that 18 to 20 of the company's 200 employees were smokers when the policy was announced in 2003. Of those, as many as 14 quit smoking before the policy went into effect. Okay, well, because 14 people had the strength of will to realize, well, I guess, you know, Big Brother's finally here, better quit smoking. Okay, that doesn't mean that your policy's good. Okay, this is a very scary policy that affects people's individual choice. The company offered to help them kick the habit. Well, what the hell does that mean? This is absolutely a victory, Klein said. Well, dude, what kind of a victory do you want to have here? You can go into the nursery with a baby raper and just, you know, go crazy. Is that the kind of victory you want to have? No. Just because you did what you wanted to do, that doesn't mean it's good. I mean, yeah, smoking is bad. Yeah, it causes cancer. And yeah, probably these 14 people who quit did a really healthy thing. Probably easily, you know, without a doubt, that's actually not probably. Definitely they did. But when you get a company forcing people to quit smoking or they lose their job, No. That's all bad. That's all bad because that's just the entryway. Sure, let's start with smoking. Where are we going to go from here? Huh? What's next? Eating meat? You know? I mean, I remember when you could get fired for smoking pot, which is a whole nother, you know, argument. I mean, that's at least illegal. Now, these people are getting fired for doing things that aren't illegal. They're getting fired for stuff that is not illegal. They're losing their rights. No one is willing to stand up. This is bullshit. We're just watching all of our rights go, you know, flowing down the drain. It's crazy. Now, Russia has always been, in my mind, sort of a kind of a oppressive country. Why do I think that? I think that because I watched all the good propaganda movies from the 50s where, you know, Russia, dun, dun, dun. You know, it's funny. No one talks about Rambo anymore. I'm a big Rambo fan. I love John Rambo movies. First Blood was great. Rambo First Blood Part 2 was great. Loved it. Really great. Those damn Russian bastards. You know. And then Rambo First Blood Part 3, which is my personal favorite because Rambo went over and helped the Taliban. And it made them look how noble the Taliban were, you know. And Osama bin Laden was in the background there saying, oh, we were so noble, blah, blah, blah. We the Mujahideen. When we're not killing children and stuff like that in Sarajevo, we're playing soccer with dead sheep. Well, you know, they're Mujahideen guys. I'm a little scary of anyone who believes in God that much, you know, that they'll go and do that kind of crap. But now we've got these films that have long been forgotten. They're propaganda films from the 80s, and nobody watches them anymore. So if you're up for a few yucks and want to see how we were supporting the Afghani people, as a matter of fact, you used to be able to support Afghan rebels through in the back of Soldier of Fortune magazine. They ran those articles for years. But back to Russia. Russia is now going off about the Jews. Oh, baby. Russia's nationalist lawmakers have asked the prosecutor general to ban all Jewish organization because of their extremist views. On a vitriolic call ahead of this week's 60th anniversary of the liberation of Nazi death camp at Auschwitz. The letter, dated January 13, but only rose public attention this week. It shocked human rights defenders, and even some of the original signatories reportedly changed their minds and were recalling their names. A foreign ministry statement issued on the eve of President Vladimir Putin's attendance at the Auschwitz Memorial commemoration in Poland said the statement has nothing to do with the official position of the Russian leadership. The seven-page call, signed by 20 members of the 450-seat State Duma lower house of parliament that included the Communist Party and the nationalist groups, used some of the most profane language against Jews publicly published in the post-Soviet era. The whole democratic world, this is a quote, quote, the whole democratic world today is under the financial and political control of the Jews, said the statement. The group was led by Vladimir Zhirinovsky and his liberal Democratic Party. Now, Sean, are you going to even touch this one with a 15-foot cattle prod? Well, I mean, what's to say here? Now, we have a country that says that we don't like religious extremists. We don't like religion. Okay, I agree with that. I don't like religious extremists. I'm not crazy about religion either. Okay? And then they're saying that the whole world is being run by Jews. Well, that's kind of a dangerous thing to say. That's pretty... can you back that up? Have you got any evidence to back that up? I mean, is there a Jewish conspiracy trying to run the world? I don't think there is. You know, there's a lot of white supremacists who seem to think there is. There's a lot of, really wacko nutbar guys who seem to think it is. I personally don't think it is. I don't have a lot of data on that because no one really talks about the Jews that much. As a matter of fact, if you live in the Western world, you're not allowed to talk about the Jews at all. Really? I mean, I don't know. I'm scared to talk about the Jews. I'm scared to actually ask questions about Jews because I'm afraid that someone will say, you're anti-Semitic. Well, you know, no, I'm not. I don't know any Jews. How can I be anti-Semitic? I know nothing about the Jewish people. I know they got dreidels and stuff because I watch South Park. I mean, they seem very nice. I'll tell you, I know they got shit kicked by the Nazis pretty bad. Actually, I know a lot about that. I think that's sick wrong. You know, I don't know anything about, you know, the whole Jewish conspiracy thing. That seems a little, we're getting near white supremacist territory there. So you want to tread real carefully when you're talking about stuff like this. If you've got facts about organizations that are only where they say, you know, proudly and predominantly that, hi, we are a Jewish organization that, you know, is out to, you know, dominate the world, then, you know, like the whites have with, you know, the Nazi party and stuff, then I'd say, yeah, but I don't think there's a Jewish equivalent to Nazis, like not Jews or whatever you want to call them. I don't think there is something like that. So for the Russian government to come out with a statement saying, no, we ban all Jews, I mean, hey, dude, that was a bad call. You know, and to make statements where you think the entire financial world is in the control of the Jews? That sounds a little crazy. You know, I'd like to take a look at your data. I really would. And we'll take a look at that. Because if you're going to make a claim like that, baby, you better be able to back that up. Now, in the United States, freedom of speech means what? Means you can say what you want. Provided you're not, you know, swearing profanely inside of a restaurant or something like that. Now, as a matter of fact, it could be argued that you, if you go with, the big Lebowski, our boy there was going off because, you know, his buddies died face down in the muck. He should be able to swear inside of a cafeteria. And I've had this conversation on the air a whole ton of times about, is it okay to swear? Is it not okay to swear? But that's not the case here. Now, if I'm wearing a t-shirt, I want my t-shirt to say what I want it to say. Okay, go to t-shirt hell. There's some t-shirts in there that make, you know, crap I talk about just out of control. But when they start arresting people because of bumper stickers, okay, that you're like, what's left after that, really? Some people are angry when they see Shasta Bates' derogatory bumper sticker about President George W. Bush, which probably says, fuck Bush. But she didn't think she'd be threatened with arrest because of it. The Denver Police Department is investigating a sergeant who allegedly threatened to arrest the 26-year-old for displaying the bumper sticker. Smooth move, Sergeant. Bates said she was told by the sergeant Tuesday that her bumper sticker was illegal. An illegal bumper sticker. Because it was profane. Dude, you're going to be busy. She said he told her he'd arrest her if she didn't remove it. But city attorney Cole Finnegan said he doesn't believe that any of the city's ordinance against displaying a profane bumper sticker. A profane bumper sticker. A scarlet letter bumper sticker. Colorado ACLU legal director Mark Silverston said the alleged threat of arrest clearly violates First Amendment protection, and then his head flew off and flew around the room as he screamed and it was on fire. Well, I made that last part up, but he did say that it was clearly violates First Amendment protection. Well, no kidding, I don't even know American law at all, and I could say that that's fucked up. Like, who in the world would think of arresting someone for a bumper sticker? I mean, I've wanted to go tear bumper stickers off cars. Every time I see one of those bumper stickers that says abortion kills a beating heart or something like that, that makes me insane. I swear to God, I can feel my teeth wiggling inside my head every time I see one of those pro-life stickers. Not because I disagree with the whole pro-life movement. You know, Bill Hicks does a great bit about that. But because I think of all the women who have had abortions, which is a very traumatic experience. I think of all the people who've been involved with a choice like that. And, you know, they get called killers and whores and baby murderers and all sorts of evil shit. And they have to put this straight in their head. They got to pigeonhole that in their own mind. And then they're forced to drive around and look at these pricks, okay, these hypocritical fucks, okay, who just throw in with whoever they want to because, you know, they happen to be on the same sides where they want to destroy all movie, musics, and art, you know, take away all choice altogether. You know, these just cocksuckers, all right, are out there with these bumper stickers. But, you know, if I say something that you don't like about a presidential candidate or a president or something like that, well, you know, I get arrested. No. I'm sorry. I don't care. Bumper stickers off of cars. I've thought about it, believe you me. When I'm working security at night, and there it is, just me and the bumper in the parking lot in the dark. And no one will know if I rip that bumper sticker off. The guy probably wouldn't even notice. He wouldn't notice. He'd get back to his little car, his little fish on the back, and he'd tootle off into the darkness. Never knowing that I've saved some people emotional pain who have to drive behind this prick. But I don't. Why? Because if you don't believe in the freedom of expression for those you detest, then you don't believe in it at all. So saith Noam Chomsky. Now, and I happen to agree with the guy. I mean, it's true. It's a fact, man. We've got to give these people, we have to have free speech. We have to have free speech. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? What's the point? Why did we even have the Second World War? Why were people fighting for freedom? Why are kids dying in Iraq right now for freedom? Why is that if we don't have freedom of speech? Your daily hack today is, I'm not going to read it to you because it's rather technical, but it was sent to me, and it's about spoofing convincing emails using Telnet. Now, this may sound kind of basic, but a lot of people don't know how to do that, namely me. I don't know much about how to do that. I don't have any really basic hacker skills. Matter of fact, I could appreciate a couple websites that could get me up to speed, you know, should I have the time to look at something like that. After all, I got to get my crypto up. Still don't have my goddamn FTP server up. What the hell's going on there? But, you know, it's handy to have that kind of information, so you can link to that off of my live journal. And it's always good to be able to make sure that you can have a little bit of privacy. That's all I have to do for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast. You can distribute it, you can do whatever you want with it, because this broadcast was paid for by the generous donations of the donators of December, or December donators, or the Santa Claus people, or whatever you want to call the December guys. The December guys and girls are Jesse, Lars, Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Greg, Richard, Weblife, Drake, Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor, Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew. And when the great score comes to write against your names in the future, guys, I want you to guys and girls, I want you to stand up proud and say, yeah, you know what? I did do something to try to help freedom in those final days. I also want to give some special shout-outs to some hard netrunners who are getting me the story, including, of course, the link to Super Hotness for Going Shopping, which I have on my live journal, which is, of course, the bulletproof clothing I asked for yesterday. Yes, Yes, it's nice to have an army of evil monkeys. It's good to be me. Special thanks to the Netrunners BlitzCon, Valakai, No Delete, Transix, Speaker, Sylvanus, Zijin Machina, Ricky Rocket, Wagawar, Sphinx Knight, and Wonder Boy. Digital baptisms tonight, we have Kitsune no Yuri is now Kabiri Jester. Now, the Kabiri is spelled K-A-B-I-R-I. Global is now known as Drowsurai. So, Global is Drowsurai, and Kitsune no Yuri is now Kabiri Jester. And, you know, if you've got any information, or you want to get digitally baptized, or you want some advice from, you know, the Sort Yourself Out section of the show, please email me at newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up the Crux Shadows album, Fortress in Flames. Very dark, very gothy, liking it a lot. So until tomorrow, everyone, that's what Server said. End of line.
Your construction smells of corruption. I manipulate, to recreate. This air to go around Saga. Gotta launder my karma, 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 karma. Gotta launder my karma. Suck it up!